insight into the world of weddings. I'm your host, Keith Willard. Welcome back to the show. Today, we are continuing our series of Wedding 101, basically the basics that you need to know about if you're planning your own wedding. And today, we're going to be talking about hair and makeup. Because, oh my goodness, there's nothing more important for a bride than her hair and her makeup. But what are the questions you should be asking of your hair and makeup pros? And what are kind of the red flags that you should be looking out for? Today, we have an amazing guest. Her name is Marcia Williams. I'm going to be introducing her shortly. But before I introduce her, let me introduce our co-host, Marcy Gutenberg, with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Hi, Marcy.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm very excited for today. I love the creativity of hair and makeup. So this is just like
I know, but exciting. I have to tell you, as a guy, it's kind of one of those areas that I don't have a lot of like background or information about. And so having somebody on that has that experience is going to be educating even for me.
Absolutely. Well, anybody, really. I mean, it's a different ball game when you're talking about a wedding. So, totally.
And then, of course, we have our amazing, gorgeous Brooke Logan Stoner, who knows all about hair and makeup. Hi, Brooke.
I know a little bit about paint. Hello, 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 my fabulous people.
But, you know, it's kind of, you know, here we have a guest that's on that literally has been on the Today Show. I mean, come on. Today Show publicity has her own, like, eyeliner line. And let me just look through this really quick.
I had to wash my hair for her.
Oh, you did? Oh,
my God. Well, hi. Yes. And I was on time.
And you were on time. All right. So let me introduce Marcia Williams. Marcia, welcome to the show. Oh, my goodness.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, hello. It's so nice to have you on the show. I know that you are the CEO of Embellished Beauty, which sells vegan, gluten-free, cruelty-free, long-lasting, hydrating lipstick, lip glosses, and easy-to-apply, comfortable, magnetic eyelashes. What? Okay, so, first of all, cruelty-free? No, I'm kidding. No, that's got to be really, really difficult to come up with a line that has all of those things kind of in its world, because, you know, it'd probably be easy to go to a chemist that says, oh, I can get you something that's, you know, easy, long-lasting, and easy to apply, but, you know, it's going to burn, so to speak.
Yes.
I know Marcia's like, oh my God, where are we going with this? Okay, so Marcia, tell us a little bit about you and about your company and how you started.
So I am a mother of three. I started my company back in 2011. I've been in the industry since 1996, and I reinvented myself so many times to get to this point, and that's what it's really all about. The cosmetics came in 2011. I was formulating everything when I launched Embellished Beauty. So I was formulating all the products, and I was really, really customizing for my customers. And, you know, time was just not on my side. I got a job at QVC as one of their platform hair and makeup artists and just decided, you know, that I really needed to reinvent the cosmetics. Handcrafting them at my house was not what I wanted to be doing. So I took the formula and I reinvented it again. And I, you know, had the formula in the manufacturing company and came up with something really cool, you know, for the people that I love to, you know, provide these products to.
Okay, so as an outsider, when I hear somebody say, I redid the formula, I mean, are you a chemist? I mean, oh my God, the knowledge.
I spent years of just like, you know, studying, understanding, you know, the ingredients, what goes and what works with what, taking classes. I mean, you name it, I've done it. So I really was doing that. And then I also was, you know, doing hair and makeup. I'm a licensed cosmetologist, so I was doing that as well as I was formulating. So, yeah.
But, you know, when you hear somebody formulating, like, did you have, like, a bunch of chemicals in your kitchen, and you're like, oh, let me put this vial with this vial, and oh.
Basically.
Yeah, looks great on my eyes.
Coffee grinders are a girl's best friend.
Ouch!
When you're trying to make eyeshadow.
Yes. whipping up, like I was doing that, when, you know, now it's like common. People are doing that and it's like a big, it's not a big deal. But back right. then it was like new, like me whipping up stuff. Yes, that was me. And it was like, I had a 2-year-old and a one, not even a 1-year-old yet. And I was like, this is crazy. Why am I doing this? It was just too much. So yeah.
I just think it's like a big leap. So if somebody's in that world and they, you know, they're talking about makeup, because, you know, you go into the, let's say CVS, I'm just going to pick CVS, you know, there's a million of those of different kinds of makeup. But then if you go into a, like a Macy's or a Dillard's or, you know, one of these higher end stores, there's even more that to choose from. And here you are, like, doing this in your kitchen, quote unquote, where did you get the balls to do this? I mean,
well,
I'm like patting you on the back. I mean, holy crap, to say, you know what? I've got something better than all these. Snap, snap. I've got something that this will make a change in the marketplace, because I've got something that is better than all these people combined.
Or yeah. something no one has that we've right. all needed for how long?
Exactly.
God, that's got to take some serious cojones and some serious, like, vibrato. It really does,
yeah.
Yeah, and joy and actually knowing who you are. I mean, oh, my God.
It was kind of, you know, you have to step outside of the box. People appreciate that. They want something new and exciting, and they want to feel a part of. So it was really, you know, I understood that, you know, at that time, like I really needed to, you know, reinvent and really, really provide something that was going to be super amazing, but fun, that, you know, people can have access to. And that, you know, that is gluten-free, because there's a lot of women in women of color who had issues with, you know, gluten in their products. And so then I had gluten sensitivity. So I really wanted to, you know, focus in on making sure these products were, you know, gluten-free, paraben-free, you know, all of those things. So it took time. It took many years for me to get to where I'm at here, but yes.
Okay, so how did you start? Because like all of us, there's a beginning point, right? That we all got into the market. Like I came from, as a director of catering for Ritz-Carlton, and then worked my way up through hotels before that position, and then jumped into the event planning world, which was kind of a crazy step for myself. I mean, we all had a beginning story. What was your beginning story?
So my beginning story was I started, first of all, let me back up. My grandmother was a hairstylist. So I watched growing up, you know, her really perfecting and doing, making people look beautiful right in the comfort of her home. Like she never was the type to have be in a salon. She went to women's shelters and she did, you know, hair and different things for, you know, the community. So I really embraced hair and makeup through her. And I started, you know, I went to school right out of high school. And, you know, shortly after that, I became a single mom and I got into pharmaceutical because my mom was like, did not want me to care. She wanted me to go to college. She wanted me to go to Spelman College on top of that. And she was like, there's no way that you are going to be doing hair. You're not going to be a hairdresser. This is not what we're doing today. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, but I'm a single mom. What am I going to do? I was 22 years old with this baby and just decided to get into pharmaceutical. And so I did. I worked at AstraZeneca for 5 years. And then one day, I was sitting at my desk and I was just watching a lot of my friends who were in the hair and makeup space, just as I was. I got out of hair school with these people, but they have salons, they have their own, and they're just doing amazing things. And I just thought, what would my life be if I died and went to heaven and I couldn't fulfill my dream? That would be tragic. So I just quit. 5 years at AstraZeneca, I walked in one day and I just gave 2 weeks notice. And my mom thought I was crazy. Yep, my mom thought I was crazy. I lost my home. I lost my car. I had no clients. Yes, I had to start from scratch and I lived with my sister. So she that said, was
I'm
my
not
story.
Doing that booth rent.
No.
To hell with that.
I live with my sister. I'm sorry. If I,
not today.
If I had a sister.
I live with my baby sister.
Oh, no. The worst, because then you feel like I'm the older sister. I'm the one that's supposed to be being successful yep. right now. It's like, oh, and I'm having to move in with my baby sister. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was... I had no clients. I started at a salon that was brand new. It was a multi-ethnic salon. I knew nothing about the connection between me graduating and working on clients was just so far from each other. But it was like starting from scratch and building a book. It took me years. And so that was my story. So, you know, when I walked into the salon to interview in King of Prussia, the manager said to me, you're either going to do this or you're not. It's not part-time, you're going to do it. And so I was I'm just going to do it part-time. She's like, no, you're going to do it. So what I was going to do? I had to do it.
Put the pedal all the way to the floor. Don't even bother.
It's scratching your way out.
Go, baby. I have a question. Y'all both know that I was in a reckless one. I've been waiting. So I have, because... I went to school for aesthetics, cosmetics, a little bit of the same thing. My thing was I have to move. I can't sit behind a chair. I can't be behind a table. So waste a lot of money, learned a lot of knowledge, have some talent, I guess. And I have people in the industry that I look up to. And I want to know who was a big, huge inspiration to you to give you that push to go ahead and do this?
So, oh my gosh. So Well, first, my grandmom, obviously, right? She was just somebody that was a pillar in my life. But I loved, like Kevin Aucoin. I loved him so much. I loved Sam Fine so much. So it was like I really needed to just take what it is that they were doing and reinvent myself. And so they have... paved the way for, a lot of us. So I just, I knew that I had to do something and do it in a big way.
Awesome. Because I have a top five. So I was like, and Kevin's in.
Oh, who's your top five?
Some of these I like question. For different reasons. I like a success story. I own almost everything JS has, which... personally, as a person, I'm not a fan of, but I do like the product. But the whole story of how the start was like my gig for that whole thing. Scott Barnes, I think, is amazing. Kevin Kwan, Pat McGrath. I'm a Toddy Westbrook fan. But now these are personalities and stuff too that I like, but also people that went and took that leap of faith. And that's why I asked you if you had said influence. And those are just Pat a few McGrath, people from YouTube that I watch,
Pat McGrath is a big one. Yeah.
Estee Lauder I worked for, so I know. But back in the day, like 2005, they owned, you're educated, you know. So I was like, when I went in there, I didn't know them. I was like, hello, Mac, and cleaning? What? And then I did some history and all that. So I was I'm not at the old lady place. They're skincare though, darling.
So if we talk about brides, right? If I take the conversation back to brides. So you're a bride that has never done a wedding before, right? You're just getting into the thought of I gotta have somebody that's amazing hair, makeup wise. What are some of the most relevant and specific questions that you should be asking of your hair makeup person?
Well, first of all, I think one of the main things that you always need to ask is, are you well-versed in all skin types and all skin tones and all hair types? Because a lot of the artists I'm finding are not, and still even to this day are not. And that is really, really essential. You know, when you get into a space of doing hair and makeup, you want somebody that can really, really move through each person efficiently and effectively. And that's like key. And if you don't have that, then it's not going to be good. Other thing that I would say is, aside from that, you want someone who knows how to move in a space of hair and makeup as far as time management is concerned. And they know how to get from this person and work their way through. I can work my way through with 8 people and get 8 people done in an efficient time. And their hair and makeup is to the T, and they look, they're ready to go. They're ready to go. Because, you know, the time goes so fast. So if you get stuck with someone who's not very good and doesn't have the experience, and they you know, they don't know how to handle in situations, it's not going to be good.
So, you
it's
know,
not gonna be good.
When it comes to wedding, obviously, you know, there are multiple skin tones, right? And not everybody is amazing with every skin tone. And I'm actually going to bring up one of the first weddings that Brooke and I worked together on.
We're doing the Tennessee transplant in Pavilion. You know, right? Well, as you should, because here we go. Because I was going to if you didn't.
Right. So, you know, we were doing this wedding at, oh my God, the synagogue of some sort, right? That was South Beach, yeah? And so the photographer snapped a picture, and then everybody's face glowed white.
Wow.
I thought we were going to talk about
powder. It's the powder. Yeah.
It was.
It's the powder.
But the thing is that, you know, Brooke ended up having to wipe everybody's makeup off, reapply it, because they had used some type of sunscreen with a little bit of zinc.
And it had a flashback,
Zinc. And it had a flashback. And, you know, and the thing is that the makeup artist never said anything. They never said, I need to prep your skin for this. Let's strip it down all to the basics. Let's make sure that it's moisturized properly for this application of makeup, and then we'll move forward. She never did it.
Yeah.
She only had them basically wash their face, and then she worked from the skin up. I mean, if it hadn't been for Brooke being there,
The W, when they had the transplant at the last minute, when the makeup artist that was supposed to do the entire party butt. And thank God. And I had to stop. I had just bought a brand new kit of brushes too. So like when he called me, I was like, of course I can do this. And I banged out that and the mother of the bride, one of the moms, I did their hair. And painted everybody but the bride and the maid of honor.
Right, but you know, I feel
and
like
fast.
That's kind of basic.
Yeah, you've got to be,
time efficient. And they were stamped and locked with the right powders for film, and they didn't have to do no touch-ups of lips all night.
So here's the question. If you're a bride or bridesmaid, what are the basics as far as what you're responsible for to ensure that you have success in your wedding makeup the next day?
So for me, what I tell my brides, I always tell them that they need to make sure that they have proper skincare regimen. Aside from a proper skincare regimen, leading up to the wedding, they need to have facials done. Aside from that, the day of, it's not just about you moisture, you know, you're doing whatever you do for your skin, but the makeup artist is supposed to ensure that there's a skin prep in place. Skin prep is very essential. So these are things that are really important. Using a Dermaflash, you know, adding those things into the skin prep is key and essential for your makeup to last and be ready to go.
What does that mean when you say Dermaflash? I mean, I'm coming at it from a guy perspective, right? And I don't have a very little understanding of what that means by skin prep. Because for me, as a guy, I think, oh, I wash my face. That's skin prep. Thank you, Anna Shade.
Yeah.
Right? You know, but
yeah, so
overall, it's pretty different.
It's different.
So what does that mean when you say skin prep?
So what I do is when I sit someone down in my chair, the first things that I'm going to be doing is looking over their overall skin, the health of their skin. They need to be exfoliated. They need to, you know, have the Dermaflash is a device that helps to exfoliate and take any peach fuzz off of the face. What that does is allows the makeup to really, really be embedded into the skin and look like skin and not just sit on your face. So those are things that are really, really important. And if you want somebody that's that understands, you know, normal skin, sensitive skin, dry skin, combination skin, what serums need to be applied, things like that. So it's more than just the basic, oh, I did my daily wash today. It's going to be, I'm taking it a step further. I'm doing my serums. I'm doing the exfoliant. I'm doing the Dermaflash. She's actually going to do the Dermaflash on me. That's going to really, really elevate my skin. It's going to take the layer off, any layer of, you know, bad skin off, and really, really get that peach fuzz up so that the makeup lays into your skin.
And if you do two things, at least exfoliate and moisturize.
Yeah.
I mean, if you and those two, but she's
exactly. Yeah.
You've seen the buyer patches, six oils I do. Yeah.
Eye patches, serums, you know, I do the eye, elevate your eyes, you know, puffiness, brides, sometimes they don't sleep, so they have that. That, you know, I put all that into in place. And so a lot of makeup artists, there are some that just don't do that. And you're not going to have the best overall look, you know, when it comes to photography. Well, so that's really, really essential.
So I'm looking at your face, and it has this nice, healthy glow.
She's glowing.
I'll look at you. But no, seriously, your skin looks healthy and put together and obviously taken care of. But we know that our brides aren't always so careful with their skin during their bridal weekend. There's, you know, Wednesday night, they go out with their girlfriends. They probably drink too much, eat the wrong thing. They probably sleep in their makeup. Thursday, you know, they're like, okay, wash my face, put something on new. And then Friday, the rehearsal, oh my God. And then here we come Saturday morning, and they come to you and they, you know, they probably got three layers of makeup on their face. And oh my God, I'm so tired. Can you please make me look good? What kind of advice could you give that particular bride before she hits the chair?
Well, so first of all, let's back up, because alcohol is like the thing that is going to break down the makeup. It does. It breaks down the makeup. So by the time 5 o'clock hits, you're going to see the redness coming through, all these different things. So one of the things that I always tell my brides leading up to the day is making sure that you're replenishing your water, you're drinking lots of water. You are really kind of try to minimize the alcohol or wine, because that really, really breaks up, you know, and your skin is not going to look its best. So you really want to make sure that you really, really are drinking lots of water, staying hydrated. That's one of the key things. Other key thing is, you know, if I have to do a quick situation right then and there, it's going to be, we are going to do a detox on your skin. So a gentle detox, because you don't want someone, and that's just a skin wash, but you don't want someone to have something that's too harsh that's going to give them a reaction. So you want something that's going to be super sensitive, super, you know, gentle for the skin. You're going to detox the skin. You're going to really, really do a light exfoliation if you can. I totally recommend that. And you want to do your eye patch. You want to do your eye serum. That's really going to help take all those under eyes and, you know, the discoloration and things like that.
I mean, and I always tell them too, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. And it's just this simple. Just think about this. Food, alcohol, drug, whatever. Whatever you put inside your body is going
it's
to come out through your pores.
It's coming out.
Come out of your face. It's going to come out of your skin.
It's
so
coming
I tell
out.
Them that. They think whatever you put inside your body, food, liquor, all that kind of thing, and what you drink, that's going to come out, and that's going to affect your skin. So, I mean, to dumb it down
absolutely.
A little bit, you know, because we can sit here for hours and get into it.
Coffee and alcohol.
We could totally get into all those people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think what I think about skincare is going to be very different than what you and most of the ladies are going to be talking about when it comes to skincare. I mean, but let's talk about the guys, right? Because the thing is that I feel like that if guys don't take skincare seriously enough when it comes to this, right? We're now getting into, let's take care of your beard. Let's make sure that you get shaved, you know, 2 days before, you know, a beard trim, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like skincare amongst guys is finally kind of taking
it is totally coming to something that's
place.
Not like taboo anymore. That's and, you know,
yeah,
right, but in this world, but it's different than girls, right?
Yes,
it's different. And I mean, well, I think it's, you know what? Honestly, I think it's the same, right?
I was going to say, it's not really that different.
The difference is that the men really, they don't, like my husband, if I told him, oh, here, use this skincare, he'd probably look at me like, why? Isn't this something that you're supposed to do, not me? Like, you know what I mean? So it's different in that regard, but it's all the same. So exfoliating, a gentle wash.
Have beautiful skin, no matter what.
Yeah, you want to have, exactly.
That's
but I think
it, two things, exfoliate, yep. Moisturize, but exfoliate and don't put apricot scrub on your face. Hello.
Yeah.
That's for your feet, actually.
But I think it's like labeled. So it's nothing. It's not across the board. It's for everyone. But there are men that will think that it's just for women, and it's not. And now we're breaking through. And we're finally getting men to do more with their skin, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. What, and it is actually amazing. I mean, there are like, there's a company actually here in South Florida that has nothing but skincare for guys and their face and their beards and their hair, which I find amazing because it's a salon and they're busy. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that you're busy. 10 years ago, guys would be like, what? I'll shave. Okay, good for me. All right. So when we get back to the bride, you know, because you're talking about hydrating, and to be honest, 3 days before the wedding, is hydrating really something that people are going to remember about? Is there a particular product that you think would be excellent for brides across the board to help replenish their skin?
Oh, God, that's so tricky because I use so many things, but I love Dr. Perricone. I'm not, like, married to one thing. Like, I love everything, and I'm just, like, a skin.
I'm grabbing it. Hold on.
She's telling me, like, she's, like, going over there.
Because when we do our events, I'm not going to lie, I can go to CVS somewhere in L'Oreal 24/7. I'm, infallible. But when I do events, I use I'm digging it. Hold on. She's a little, you know, a little more pricey than the CVS, but I save that for the events that we do.
Right.
But yeah, that's the foundation that I use actually.
So by the way, Marcia is just her connection, so it's just the three of us. So I'm actually gonna defer to you, Brooke. I mean,
if you want to go, Keith, bye. I got this because I want to hang out with her.
I know. Right?
Bring her back.
But seriously, like, you know, when you talk about these magnetic lashes, I mean, because that's something that we've talked about before, is that you put on a little bit of eyeliner and that the magnetic lashes are supposedly super easy, but they're not, because I've heard you bitch and complain about these.
Well, and here's the thing too. There's a plus and a minus from it, you know, and I have to go back and forth because depending on what product I use, anytime I put lashes on, I think we've done 3 shows where I have not worn lashes.
Right.
Whatever it is, and I've used so many different brands, it completely makes my nose run. It makes my eyes water. So that's why you see me touching up all the time. You always know I have lashes on. If you've seen 3 shows where you've never had to see that, it's because I'm not wearing lashes. It's just something, I have sensitive skin, but the magnetics are great. But that it takes longer for me to put that. For me, that process is a little bit longer than the strip and go.
Do you have to put on extra eyeliner in order to get to?
There's a process to do. If you want, if I'm going to wear lashes, I want them to look like they're growing out of, like a lace front rig for somebody,
right,
out of
like
my
skin. Like the individual lashes.
So,
like, you know,
when Alexis 2 weeks ago, she's like, when did you get your lashes done? I'm like, don't play with me, sister. You know better. And I had a pair of Ardell Wispies on. I knew they came up with something new, and I threw them on, and like you thought they were my real lashes.
Well, it's, that's what I'm saying. Preference. That, like, if we looked at you today, so I'm going to take you to the big screen. Yeah. I mean,
I cheated today.
Really?
There's a gap in his face. I don't do that. So when we do our weddings, I don't have that there because we are a different lash.
Right.
For face to face. Now, when we're on camera or doing TV, I wear a longer lash, a bigger band, and I have that space. The key is you have to put your mascara on because and pinch it and blend it in. But, you know, so on cameras, you don't see that. But if I get in there and I really show you, there is actually a space there, which helps me because if I was that was laying down, I'd be waterworks all day.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is that there's tricks to the trade, so to speak. Yeah. Your makeup always looks amazing. We get comments all the time
Thank you.
Through our improved.
I'm actually prettier in person, which really makes me angry because the camera's supposed to make you look prettier. And I look, I come across nice on TV, but like, I'm like, well, I'm prettier in person. How come that doesn't work? I'll take it.
All right.
The award's on the shelf.
Yeah. So we have two ladies on the show. So when I look at both of you, you both have excellent makeup, right? It's awesome.
Marcy's beautiful.
Yeah. Marcy's makeup is perfect, right?
Thank you.
So Marcy, did you do anything different in order to be on camera versus in person?
I have two different kinds of powder. One of them is for more of an in-person tone versus if I'm on camera, I like to use a different kind of powder that's more a photo finish powder.
Right.
Of the flashing and so forth.
What do you guys think about lip liner? What are your thoughts on that? Because
I like it.
Do you? Really?
I like it, but I don't like... I don't want it. I mean, personally, it's a personal thing. I like it to blend. I don't want to see the liner. I just like it as more of a base, and I kind of do it a little more than just around the edge because right. I want certain areas to pop and give more dimension.
Right.
I just think it just makes your lips stand out a little bit more. And as some of us get older, your lips become smaller and less plump because as you age, there is less there's less moisture in your body as you grow older.
So, I mean, but okay. So you talk about blending, right?
Yes.
Does that mean you just rub your fingers across? What does that mean, blending?
I actually have a lip liner right here. Yeah. What I would do is I would start with my Cupid's bow area. I would go out on both sides, and then underneath, just at the edge of my lips. Some people like to overline. That's not my thing, though. I just really like it to accentuate what I naturally have. Right. I don't use Botox. I don't use fillers.
Red.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. I love it.
And then I use my lipstick. And then for a little extra, I like to use a tiny bit of gloss. Just on little areas, just to kind of give it, like I said, more dimension and more pop.
So basically, I do the exact same thing, but my lips are perfect. I'm not gonna lie, I have good lips.
You're beautiful lips. So are you kidding?
I get to cheat a little bit because, and I when I want to get the glam on, I will use my liners. I have 1,000 of them. But I mean, I literally this lip is three things. It is a liquid lipstick. And I just, the Cupid's bow, but because I have full lips, I don't have to line them. I can use that tip. And then I go in the center with this as a lighter color to make them look a little fuller. I throw on my gloss, a little glitter, and boom, I'm done. Now, before I had my top lip done, I had to do a little tiny bit of overdrawing. And if you do it right, it's fine. But sometimes the paint by number clown thing is not cute. But if it's done properly, it doesn't look horrible. It's just, you have to know what you're doing.
All right. So
yes.
Who is more critical about makeup? Girls or boys?
Oh, I think girls, personally. Right. I mean, I think we're constantly looking at ourselves in the mirror. We're looking at others in the mirror. We see things on TV. We see things on social media. Right. I think we're constant. I mean, I watch a ton of how to... from different people because I like to see how they're applying it and get tips. And, you know, sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. But, you know, you just have to fish through and figure out what's going to be best for you.
So, I mean, so when you're doing your makeup, do you do it for yourself or do you do it for people that are looking at you?
Me.
You do it for yourself.
Without a doubt, me.
When I want to put on makeup, cosmetics is for me, trust. But I do have a job to where, you know, I want to look my best, especially if I'm clocked in, right? Because I have a job to do and I want to look professional. Because the old saying, when you look good, you feel good.
That's just it.
You know.
Totally.
That's it, you know. And I do love, I'm not going to lie, I just actually was talking to my husband about this last night. The show has taken away a little bit of the fun of getting in the mirror because, you know, it's almost like a chore, like a clocking thing. Right. So it's like, but when I'm not rushing and I have more than 20 minutes to do it, I like it when I get to sit in there and I have my time, like I have an hour and I can really get in there. Because I'm a blunt queen. I do not, if you always know I'm blunted. There's no lines.
So you both have been married and had been a part of a wedding. Did that hold true during that time? Did you say, you know what, I'm doing my makeup for myself? Or did you say, oh, I got to do my makeup for the wedding?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, if you really want to be honest, I mean, we do it for ourselves, but obviously there's that play there too. We're not just doing this so we can sit on, well, Marcy can maybe tell. I don't get painted to sit on my couch.
So Marcy,
maybe when I was younger, yes, but now that I'm older, like I'm not going to put a full face on to sit on and watch, you know, whatever I want to watch on YouTube.
And I love that the fact that you said full face, because sometimes you're like, oh, I'll do my lips. I'll do some basic foundation, but I'm not going to do my eyes. Because that's full face, and that's too much work.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I did my from head to toe 15 minutes. The show has taught my ability to speed paint, and I've learned a few roll of footage for the last year and a half. So, and I've learned how, you know, a little bit of self help, like by watching myself and what I look like and how things change and lighting. Keith, remember? Clown paint for the first, you know, so it was, you know, like, thank God for that.
A really excellent point, because a lot of people don't understand how to paint for a flash, you know, because that is different than.
And people need to know too, there's makeup's makeup for two different reasons, and for me, in my mind, this is old school, I've been trained, you know, I've gone to school. It's to correct and enhance and things. And if you maybe don't have the best this or that, you know, that's what that's for. It's to help you look your best. And then you also have the art side of it.
Right.
So Lipstick Nick in my lane, Luscious Massacre, like that, there's that flip. And that's an example. So everybody's watching, look those two up and you'll see, you know, what I'm talking about. You have to, and for me, I always paint for the occasion, basically.
True.
You know, I want to look natural and pretty, and then there's sometimes I got to put it on. You know, if we're outside, I got to wear a little extra and I got to lock it down. And that's what it is. I always try to look as natural as possible.
Right.
Sometimes I don't get the opportunity, and I got 7 minutes to do the best I can.
and
that's just what it is.
Between, like, in the moment and flash.
It's the product. Okay, this is a whole school. Let's just do warm and cool tones are important, especially with lighting.
So
prime example, I looked like a pumpkin one time because I had too much warm tones on, and I put on a warm light instead of a cool.
Right.
Color wheel. You're supposed to do the opposite. You know, that they teach you that in school.
All right. That's confusing. What do you mean?
So cancel out. So like dark hair is like right here. I have Dragon Beauty. It's like an orange. It cancels out blue or gray or some, you know, a darker color. If I would have put that on, there would be no shadow here, right? So that when I say the color wheel, that's the opposite. So orange would cancel out blue, essentially, in a way. It's a whole primary. It sounds complicated, but it's really simple.
Right. Especially with some ethnic...
Marcy knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right. I think with some ethnic skin tones,
right.
Sometimes there are certain colors that come out a little bit stronger. And in order to kind of even out the whole face, you may want to do something opposite of your skin tone so that it counterbalances it to bring things more cohesive.
So what do you say to those brides that say, you know what, I want to do a bold eyeliner, blue, right? Something very 70s, kind of like over the top. For some reason, I keep thinking MacGyver, right? But, you know.
If you're a good makeup artist, and to me, it's like it's a whole look. It's not just, it's from head to toe, you have to be polished. That's just me. And Marcy is, I spoke about this. I'm like, wow, this woman is incredible. She's done from head to toe. That was my first, before when I first laid eyes, I'm like, she's put together. And I told Keith this. I'm like, she looks great, right? So it's the whole experience for me. It's from head to toe. It's the whole entire look. So what are you wearing? Where are you going? What's the occasion? Like, all these things actually do matter. If you're really good at what you do, as a makeup artist or an artist period, like you have to like do the math on it, do the arithmetic. So if you want me to do 70s or whatever. So I'm going to take what you really want and I'm going to put my spin on it to know what looks good or not and what we can get away with to make you look great. Or if it's just a bad idea, it's my job to talk you out of that.
And maybe do 70s-ish.
Give a different
and bring it more
approach.
Current.
Yeah.
All right. So exactly. Here we have two people, right, that are in the wedding industry. What are some of the questions that you would suggest for new brides when they are interviewing makeup artists? Like, what are some of the first questions that you'd say, okay, I need to make sure that these guys have this answer?
For one thing, I think first and foremost, go pay for a consultation, go in, have them do your makeup. The reason being, you may have heard about this person, you may have seen their work, but you want to know that they're going to give you the look that you want to have. And I also think that you're also seeing their techniques and what products they're using and the materials that they're using. You certainly want to make sure they're being aesthetic, you know, with their aesthetics and so forth. You want to make sure that everything is top notch. You don't want to have things that are like, you know, caked up and so forth. So you want to make sure that you're going to be hiring somebody for the big day who is, you know, has those good qualities, qualified talent. Yes.
And that understands wedding makeup.
There's two ways to do this, especially because here's the thing. Like, okay, so like me, like if I was booked to do.
Whoops. Oh my goodness. So I'm going to actually go ahead and kind of fill you in a little bit about my background with regards to makeup. I have always been into makeup. It's something that's creative for me. It's something I have a passion about. I think that skincare is essential morning and night. I do it twice a day at least. And, you know, I personally don't wear makeup every day. As you know, as I said, as you get older, you kind of want that natural tone. And in this day and age, it's not like the 70s and the 80s where you did the whole thing all the time. I mean, I think when I was, you know, a teenager in my 20s, I didn't go out of the house unless I had full done. But now
I would go buy a pack of cigarettes in 2005 unless I was done.
But now, I feel you. Like, you know, and especially living in Florida. I mean, in Florida, you have the sun. You do have to be more conscious of that. You don't want to ruin your skin because once you ruin your skin at a young age, it's for life. So
look at me, honey.
Skincare is super essential, like the canvas. Like that's to me the most important part. Before I had to jump back in. So good makeup artist. Like I said, if I was gonna get booked for a job, I would have the biggest shade range of foundation on the planet. If that's not your tea and that's not your situation, make sure your bride and her party at least do the skincare thing, but make sure they bring a super done match foundation. And then work out of your kit if you don't have that kind of thing, because that's with cameras and tones and stuff, that's very important.
So honestly. for two of you, right? As somebody in the wedding industry, what are some of the questions that you would ask that your makeup artist? Like what are some of the things that you would say, these are things I need answers to?
Well, number one is how long it's going to take.
Time management. That's
a management issue because you want to make sure that you're going to be ready for your photos, especially if you're doing them beforehand. Yeah. When do you need to start? How many people they can do? You know, like how many people are you planning to have in your wedding party who are going to need makeup? Can they do it on site or do you need to go to the venue where they work? You would also ask you probably would want to have some food and beverage brought in because it is sometimes a little bit of a longer process. So you want to stay hydrated. You want to stay nourished. You don't want people to be passing out up while you're getting married.
What kind of payment?
I mean, how do they have to be paid? You know, what's the process of payment? What is the, you know, do you have to put a retainer down? all of those kinds of things to secure the date.
If you have a contract, you know, that has to be talked about and brought up to that on that day before you're hired, so that there's no
right.
Oh, on day of, I didn't know.
And are you getting the person that you're hiring? Because sometimes people will send out people who they hire, but they themselves may not be there. So you want to make sure that you're hiring or you know who you're getting before the day.
And most weddings are 99.9%. The bride wants smoking, but natural. It's natural. I call it, you know, cigar bars. That's usually most cases.
Well, and you want to make sure that you get what you're expecting.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I would do some research on the makeup artist. Bring a portfolio. In a perfect world, by all means, please have a consultation. And is that always a no? But a good makeup artist probably doesn't need to do that. That's why I said, one or two things, either have that kit ready, no matter what the case may be, mm-hmm. or at least make sure that the people you're painting have that, the closest foundation match, you know, that you can. I mean, and then this is huge, sanitary. There's certain ways most important thing, if you are a makeup artist, is to be sanitary, okay? I use someone's, a good friend of mine's mascara. I almost was blind in 24 hours. It's just, you have...
Super important.
You have to be sanitary. If you don't know, please ask me. I'll tell you all about it. But it's simple. Use the disposable stuff. You can't dip twice. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's ways to sharpen a pen. There's steps to. And if you've gone through school or any kind, if you're hired as a makeup artist, you know these things. That is a very important thing to, even if they don't ask, just bring that up because it makes you look better. You're more knowledgeable in their eyes. Plus, it makes them like think a little bit and like, oh, this person is thebomb.com. It never hurts to insert that at all. And if you don't talk about it on site that day, you better do it. Because
it could go left. From our sponsor, and we will be right back.
I, Ava, wonder if our guests would be here on time.
If we had a custom wedding website.
With our ceremony details on it.
And I, Taylor, would pick Zola to have and to host our wedding website.
Ours even matched our Zola invites. The whole thing was so freaking easy.
Do you think Zola could have made planning your perfect wedding easier?
We do.
I do.
We've helped a million couples plan their weddings with free websites, registry, and invitations. Get started for free at Zola.com.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, so now we get to talk about whatever we want. So, Marcy, time to brag.
Time to brag.
Yeah, time to brag. What's something that's been super positive in your life that you went, oh my God, I really would love to be able to talk about this?
Well, super brag. So, I have gone through a major transition in my life where I was quite heavy for a long period of time. All my adult life, and I have recently lost 80 pounds. So that's pretty exciting. Thank you. I feel fantastic. I just needed to do something. And it was something I've thought about for a long time. I just said, you know, I finally had to stick to it and finally had to start buckling down on my eating and my nutrition and you know, work out and do more walking and things like that. And I just felt, you know, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it, you know?
No, but seriously, you look amazing.
Exercise induces endorphins, and endorphins makes people happy. And happy people don't usually kill people. So I get that because I used to be a size 10, but I was going to the gym. And, you know, as you get older, I found out at 40 that I had to go to the gym for the first time in my life because, you know, things change at 40 in your body. And you just, what you've been doing 40 years isn't going to work anymore.
No, and so, I just had a birthday, so.
I understand. I've been a size 8 and I've been a size 18. I'm not going to tell you where I am right now, but...
20th again. Hold on. Marcia!
Yay!
Marcia!
I cannot even believe that. I was, like, talking, and then all of a sudden, we're in total darkness. power outage. Sorry, guys.
Oh, wow.
No worries.
I'm glad you're back.
Yes.
We just did our talking piece. No worries.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, so one of the questions that we asked was, what were kind of some of the questions that you would be asking as a new bride to your makeup artist?
As a professional, what would you ask your bride or your client?
Yeah. So what would you ask?
What would I ask them now?
Yeah, no, to your makeup artist. Like if somebody were a bride,
yes,
and you needed to book somebody professional,
one of the things that I would want to know is, can they blow dry hair, curly hair? I want to know if they have, like, you know, a strong sense and understanding of textured hair. I would also want to know, you know, are they affluent in all skin types? Because I have a very diverse bridal party. You know, are they comfortable with applying to different hues of colors in the bridal spectrum, in the color spectrum? So those are one of the main things I'd be asking.
I have a question for her, and I'm like, oh, well, it left me, but it's a good one too. it'll come to me.
So, Marcy?
Would you say, so we were talking about lining lips before, and I wanted to get your feedback on that. I mean, is it necessary to do, or can people skip that process?
Lining the lips?
Yes.
So I would say lining lips is great for someone who wants to really, really demonstrate or create a fuller look, a fuller lip. Lining is good. But if you are looking for, you know, some people line lips because they want the product to stay on a little longer. You want to find a good liquid lipstick that is going to be long wear, that is going to last and give you longevity. So liner is not totally necessary. Unless you have, you know, you want to really create a certain look, a fuller effect, then I would say yes, liner is great.
Nice. Yeah.
We're both winning. I'm gonna interrupt it. No,
we were talking before about.
It had to do with. I remember. So I'm looking for a makeup artist for my wedding, right? I find you, however I find you. What do you bring to the first meet and greet with me? The physical one-on-one, let's say that we're going to have a consultation before this happens. This is how I'm going to hire you at this meeting. What tools do you bring, if any, to this first meeting with your potential client?
That's a good question. I mean, I typically, you know, I've been really lucky because people tend to, I guess, look online a lot now, and they want to see, you know, where you are online in terms of Instagram and things like that. But if I'm meeting you in person,
yeah, so you have to sell me without Instagram.
I'm bringing my lookbook so you can see all the variations of brides that I've worked with, different skin tones, different hair types. You're going to see a diverse book. And all of the things that I've done.
And what do you think would be your most important selling point on that to get that client?
Well,
generically, what do you think the most important thing to get that hook, to get that client, to get that contract signed? What do you think the most important information is, minus your portfolio of proof of this is what I can do?
Well, people want to. For me, I feel like people do business with people that they like, genuinely like. They want to feel comfortable. They want to know their personality is going to really, really mesh with them. You know, I like to get on the phone with people. I like to meet for coffee. People want to. They do business with people that they actually genuinely like. I think that's really key.
Well, she's the case. She answered it. She won question and answer because I was looking for personality.
Well, yeah.
If you have nothing else, what can happen?
You have nothing else. Yeah. People do business with people that they like, right? Yeah. Definitely.
Especially since you're sitting there in the chair having your makeup done by somebody, you want to know that you're going to gel with the person that's doing your makeup. I mean,
yeah. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, I've met people, if it doesn't work, it just doesn't. If I don't get a good sense, or if the bride doesn't get a good sense, then you don't want to do that, because then it's just not
working. Well, some paint, do our thing and get out and do a great job. But you know, it's a lot easier and smoother and a lot fun for both parties if there's that chemistry there.
Yeah.
And so when you said personality, that's what I was looking for. Because now I'm yours. Because I was like, I know a couple things about a couple things. And
then, I mean, you know, I'm not the only, skill. She's legit. You know, I'm not the only person, out here doing hair and makeup, but you want to do business with people that you love and you really, really genuinely like,
I also have another question for you about hair. So what is the latest stage that if somebody wants to change their hairstyle for their wedding, when would you say the latest that you should do that would be?
When you say change it, you mean like weeks before or?
Weeks or months before.
That's fine. You can change it up to the day. I can operate on a, quick thinking. You gotta move through. You gotta be able to do all styles. You can't just be able to do one curl. You gotta be able to whip that hair up. You gotta know different techniques. And so anything can change at the drop of a hat. One thing I would say,
working spray and that ponytail.
You have to be able to transition quickly. One thing that I will say, through the years of working in television, you have to be able to really, really transform somebody quickly. And if the hair doesn't work at this junction, then you got to be able to like move about it in a very quick way. So
right, but I'm talking from the sense of like the bride. Like, for example, let's say the bride says, "You know what? I want to color my hair and I want to do it something copper color or something." Like, and then they have it done, they're not happy with it. How far out would you say you don't want to do something so dramatic?
Oh, smart.
I would say 6 months before, because what happens if you do it 2 weeks before? If you don't like it, that's just going to be, if you're changing hair color, I would say start the transition 6 months prior to your wedding, because people are fickle. You can say you like it, but you want to be comfortable with it on that day. So if you start coloring your hair, with honey highlights, let's just say, start that transition in the beginning, 6 months prior to the wedding. And that way you're comfortable and you're not doing something new. I don't suggest doing something new at all. That would be disastrous. Don't do anything. Don't do any crazy haircuts. Don't change a look. Don't do it.
Please make sure I have enough hair to snatch back and throw a ponytail I'm doing up to if I have to in 5 minutes.
I've seen people do it.
Give me that.
Leave that, please. Because, and then you want to go to somebody that you want to also go to somebody that you've been going to for a long time. Because I've seen people sit in the chair of people that they don't even know. And then they get something that they weren't expecting, and then it's disastrous. And they're crying, and it's a mess. So you don't want that. You want to, be comfortable with the stylist and be with them for a long period of time before before your wedding day.
If you're brunette and you want to go to blonde, 6 months.
Did that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I was actually in a hair show back in my 20s. I was a model and they colored my hair copper and gave me a Vidal Sassoon cut. And it was a beautiful cut, beautiful color, but it just wasn't me. And I felt it. I mean, it took a while for it to grow out and so forth. Gorgeous, but it just wasn't my style at that point in my life.
Vidal Sassoon is where that's how I was trained by Vidal Sassoon. So I haven't heard that in a minute. Thank you for
my old roommate slash best friend. She is a hairdresser. So I was her guinea pig quite often. And the people that she worked for.
Did she serve you tab? You know?
Here, did she what?
Tab. You know, tab. Do you remember tab? Oh my God.
Tab. The drink. Yes. Yes.
Carlton's and then Salem's for dessert after. Yes. God, I'm old. That was like
1989. Here we go.
Yes. Early eight, mid to eight, mid eight.
81.
Oh, total.
Yeah. 81, 82.
Right? But
But I remember.
I think that's important that you empower the people that are sitting in your chair to ask questions. I think that, you know, part of everything that we're talking about is don't shut up.
Don't if you look at a face on, it's a beautiful makeover, and it's just as face value what you see it as. But there's so much, as we're discussing in this hour, that really goes into and that is behind the scenes that creates this whole entire process of what a makeover artist goes through and does to create this look and this moment for this bride and whomever.
Don't be quiet. Oh my God. So I think that there's so many.
We don't have a problem with me.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying is that so many people in this world are super polite. They're like, it's beautiful. And that's not really what they're thinking. What they're thinking is, holy fuck, I look like a clown. Oh, Jesus Christ. What's happening?
Well, you know what? You know what I found and I find is that when people say that they want a certain look, and they show me a picture and I say to them, what do you like about this picture? Because what I see is completely different than what you see. You know what I mean? Right. And they're like, oh my God, I like her smoky eyes. I'm like, well, smoky? That's what you see? Because that's not
your lips
what
are not the same. Your face.
Right. Exactly. So you want to make sure that you really are understanding, because some clients end up, they don't know the lingo. They may not, you know, convey it the right way or say what is needed. So you ask those types of questions. What is it that you love about this picture? What is it that
I think if you're amazing makeup artist, I think that if someone does that, and because if you're educated and clearly you are, then you know what in your mind, okay, you hooded eyes this, that, you know what to do to achieve that look as best you can. Or you be like, well, I think this, and if you want to throw the Bible at them and go through it and tell them, you know, give them the elementary on it, then you can, but who wants to do that? I think it's the makeup artist's job to take their interpretation. Okay, so you want to look like this? Two things. First of all, I'm a beautician, not a magician. I'll do my best, and if I'm great at my craft, this is what I'm going to do, or I'm going to be like, bam, I'm just going to do this. I know, I see your face, I see your skin tone, I know it's going to look good on you. And then, your work speaks for yourself at the end, right?
There are 80 photos that I'm like, oh, please. If I look
all
like
those
that,
glamour shots.
Oh, yes. Glamour shots.
Or see, remember?
I remember that. Yes.
The blush wasn't here, baby.
You know what?
No matter if it was flattering or not, it was always that good blue eye shadow, that jacket.
Oh, my gosh.
No matter what color your skin was or your hair, you always
glamour shots. Yes. Oh, my gosh. So funny.
Hold on.
I'm just saying, if you had the pulled up song.
There she is.
And not for nothing, I think I was 19. I actually got hired at Glamour Shots in the Mall of America.
In the mall? Oh my gosh.
And the Mall of America, I got hired. And I was, I was like 19, 20. I wasn't 21 yet. I was flabbergasted and super excited, right? Because I hadn't been to school yet. So I got hired at Glamour Shots before I went to cosmetology and aesthetics.
Wow.
That didn't happen probably till like 10 years later.
Wow.
So I was, my uncle unfortunately passed away and I never did get my first day started because I had to fly back to Michigan and handle that. But
Oh, wow.
But I was good enough to, at 19 years old with no training from anything. Just, some people are talented and I guess I was.
So, Marcia Williams, thank you so much for being part of Behind the Veil. Oh, my God. So much fun.
She's still here.
I'm like, what's happening? I don't know. It's really windy, so I don't know here where I'm at. So, well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much, Keith.
We are so
Marcy and Brooke.
Join us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you. You
never know what's going to happen. So, God bless us. Bruce Logan Stoner, Marcy Goodberg with an character remembered by Marcy Keith Willard. Hey guys, everybody say goodbye. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What?